Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the WEEI studios, the home of the Red Sox, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brad, is Joe Mazzulla the best head coach for this team going forward? And if so, why?
Yeah, I think he is. I thought he, again, did a really good job with this group. Everybody's going to overreact to the best players and coaches after every game. That's always the way it is. We know that going in, so we have to, you know, be able to judge things on the whole. He's a terrific leader. He'll only get better at anything that, you know, he can learn from this year, because he's constantly trying to learn, and he's accountable. You know, those leadership qualities are hard to find. When you can show all those through the expectations and the microscope that he was under, that's hard to do. Was he perfect? Would he like to have some moments back? Every coach would.
Maybe it's just my sensibilities as a person who freaks out about everything and overreacts to everything.
Manholes.
Exactly. Irrational fears. But I don't get people like Brad Stevens. There's a lot of fans that are like this, where they're like, well, you don't want to overreact. Why would you want to overreact to what just happened? I guess you don't want to overreact. Could you react a little bit? Let's start with reacting. If you don't want to overreact and trade Jaylen Brown, I get it. But I think a realistic reaction to what went down would be getting a new coach and changing the core a little bit. I don't think that's overreacting. I think that's reacting. And this was a Danny Ainge level reaction to what happened. And I used to get very frustrated with Ainge, and I've applauded Stevens for being different than Ainge. He's more bold. Arcan said this earlier in the show. Ainge never would have made the Derek White trade. Never. I don't think he would have made the Brogdon trade. Like, Ainge loved his young pieces and his draft picks too much. He wouldn't have given up Nesmith. He would have waited for Romeo Langford. He would have kept all the first rounders. So I've applauded Brad for some of that. It's the first time I heard him today, and there were a lot of things that bothered me from Brad Stevens. It's the first time I heard him today, and I'm like, that sounds like Ainge. They're too comfortable. They're going to bring everything back from the coach on down. That's scary. It's the final hour of Jones and Mego with Arcan here on WEEI. We'll get back into your phone call, 617-779-7937. Mego, I know you're not happy with bringing back Mazzulla, and how could anybody be happy with that?
I'm not. And I come from a different place than you and Arcan, where I don't think you need to shake up the core. I think you can move some pieces around them and run it back with the right coach, because we've seen them get to the finals with the right coach before under what I think were tougher circumstances in terms of the teams that they had to go through last year. But it's when you say that he sounds like Danny Ainge, I kind of feel like it just sounds like Joe Mazzulla.
I feel like
Brad and Joe are kind of speaking the same tone.
So for sure,
we love these guys, we support these guys, and that's all well and good. And I appreciate that in a coach and in a franchise and everything. But you guys should be in the finals today. You should be preparing for the finals right now. And it feels like they're kind of saying, well, we're just going to run it back. Everybody move on. There were things out of our control, blah, blah, blah. Jason's ankle, had to appoint this coach 5 days before the year started. And I'm like, that stuff is always going to come up. Maybe not having to appoint the coach 5 days before, but there's always going to be this stuff that comes up. You guys were mostly lucky in your playoff run. You didn't have any devastating injuries throughout.
Nope.
Like, the issues that you had a lot of the times were self-inflicted, in my belief, from your coach or from your two-star players. So I don't want to hear about, like, it just didn't really break our way this year.
I just wish this organization would overreact a little more. And this is what I mean about Ainge. You're right. Brad Stevens and Joe Mazzulla are very closely aligned on a lot of things. Three-point attempts, offense over defense. Like, I've said this many times, Mazzulla's a baseball manager, and he's carrying out what Brad Stevens in the front office want. And maybe that's part of why Mazzulla's a protege, because Brad knows that Mazzulla's just going to agree with whatever he does. Like, maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But I just think this organization needs to be... Why do you have one title in 37 years? Because they're afraid. Because they're afraid they're going to make the wrong decision. And I just wish they were a little more bold. I applauded Brad Stevens for being bold in getting Malcolm Brogdon. He didn't sit on his hands last year. He went out and added the sixth man of the year. And on top of that, Danilo Gallinari didn't work out. Whatever. Happens. But at least they were bold and aggressive. I think now, looking at this core and looking at that coach and saying, oh yeah, bring it all back, I think that's crazy. You don't have to overreact. Jaylen Brown might be an overreaction. I'd do it, but it might be an overreaction. You should at least react and make some changes. And I get the sense from listening to Brad, Mazzulla's back. He'll have a veteran coach next to him. They're going to double down on their philosophy. Grant's gone. Pritchard's gone. But that's it. Everybody else is back. And I think that stinks.
Yeah, that does stink, because that doesn't, to me, address the problems with the team this year and why they ended up getting knocked out in the playoffs when they did, and why they had so much trouble with the Atlanta Hawks and the Philadelphia 76ers and everything else. It's not because of the stuff on the edges. It's not the periphery. It's not the margins. It's not the assistant coaches. I don't even really think it's the head coach. I don't think he was a plus.
Well, good thing it's not the assistants, because they're out of town.
I know. They're all leaving, so good. But, like, I don't know that – I'll agree with you that Mazzulla wasn't a plus, that he was a minus, but I don't know that he was enough of a minus that you sort of look at that and say, well, that's the thing that needs to change here above all else. I just think that looking at the stars, the core of this team, the most important players on this team, and the way that they played down the stretch, that's what did them in. That's what did it.
We haven't even talked about this. What does it say that all the assistants are fleeing?
It says that they don't believe that they're going to be back in the finals next year.
Okay, well, and that
they love Ime Udoka.
And that they don't believe that they're going to have upward movement in this franchise, which is crazy because they don't even have the assistants replaced that left last season, including Joe Mazzulla, when he was elevated to head coach.
They're loyal to Udoka. They don't believe in Mazzulla. And you took it a step further than I even wanted to, but right. They may not believe in the direction of the franchise. 617-779-7937. How do you feel about what Brad Stevens had to say? I feel like it doesn't properly reflect how the fan base feels. I've said this a bunch. I think Celtics fans are more frustrated with the finish than even Bruins fans are. Like, I get more outrage from Celtics fans than I did about the Bruins and their collapse. And maybe I'm wrong about it. Fans are pissed. And Brad's like, oh yeah, just run it back. Like, listen to what he said about changing the roster. Like, forget firing Mazzulla. Forget trading Jaylen Brown. They're going to bring back Smart and Horford, and maybe they'll even bring back Grant and Pritchard for all I know. Listen to this.
We'll always look at how do we best, evaluate our roster and make the small tweaks that maybe can put you over the top. You know, obviously, you know, we're in an interesting situation because I think, you know, again, we're 48 minutes away from, you know, doing our pregame shoot-around press conference today.
Cool.
Right? Like, in the finals. There was a lot that went right, and we can't lose sight of that. But we also, you know, are always going to be thinking about how to best move it forward and, you know, pursue what we're all trying to pursue.
Okay, so he at least leaves the door open a little bit, but, like, there were a lot of good things this year. That's not what anybody wants to hear.
It's such a regression. It's how many Final Four appearances has this group had, which we heard before the finals forever.
The Twitch chat made the Duquette reference, where it's more days in first place. Like, that's that level of what Brad Stevens is saying. It's we're counting Eastern Conference Finals appearances, more days in first place. It's nonsense. No one wants to hear that.
No, you just lost to the 8 seed, and whatever you feel like that means, you can't tell me on the one hand that it's like the 8 seed and if the Heat didn't show who they were in the regular season, and then also talk out of the other side of your mouth and tell me that, well, Boston had 57 wins in the regular season, so they're actually really good and they'll be fine running everything back last year. Like, the two don't compute.
Yeah, the number two offense and defense in the regular season.
Oh, that was another talking point that bothered me.
Yeah, they were the number two team in the Eastern Conference Finals. Congrats.
We're supposed to feel good about being number two in offense and defense? or we're supposed to feel good about being in a Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final. And, well, you know, gee willikers. Like, if things broke a little differently, all of a sudden you're getting ready for the NBA Finals. That's why we're all pissed.
Yeah, things broke a little differently, you get swept. Like, you know, like, that's it.
You
things broke a little differently, you lose to Doc Rivers.
In fairness, I think Brad did reference that at one point. He's like, you know, like, Game 6 could have gone a different way. Like, he did at least reference that in his defense, but good point, Arkan.
Yep.
Like, things could, maybe you're out around earlier if things break differently. Maybe you lose Game 6 if it breaks differently. Maybe you lose Game 4 and you get swept. Like, a lot could have gone differently.
Yeah, and that's sort of why I didn't like, and I think a lot of people didn't like the tone and tenor of this entire press conference. It was all focused on the good things and why we should all focus on and treasure these great memories that we had and all that other stuff. And
oh,
really,
my God. Like, I'm thankful for.
So
okay.
Thankful for everything, but no real addressing of the problems on this team. And not really addressing that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Marcus Vaughn, all these other players, and Al Horford, all of them disappeared point and never really getting to that.
No. Hayseeds in Indiana love a finals appearance for the Pacers, right? And they love Eastern. They probably count Eastern Conference Finals appearances. But not in Boston. Sorry, not in Boston. That's not what we do.
Two dozen Atlanta Hawks fans with Trae Young carried them.
It's just like, oh, yeah, oh, gee willikers. Remember the Davis twins and Reggie Miller? It was great. And it's like, no, this is different. This is different. You gotta win.
But it might not be because it's scary, because it does feel like those Reggie Miller teams.
Yes. You made your finals appearance and you're never going to get back. At least Reggie Miller was at the end of his career when he finally got there. Like, it felt like a triumph for him.
Shaq and Kobe also.
This was early to peak.
Just like that.
This was early to peak. So to me, it's the first time I've thought about it. I've loved the job that Brad Stevens has done as an executive. I hated that he got the job in the first place. I was shocked he made the moves that he made and had been as successful as he had been in the front office. Now, Brad, Joe Mazzulla feels like a sinking stone. And sticking to this core feels like it's destined to sink to the bottom of the ocean as well. And you're going to go along with him. Like, Brad moving on from Mazzulla in a weird way might have given him some job security. And moving on from the core might give him some job security, because that might be the right decision. If they flame out, and I think they're going to flame out with this coach and this core, it's what they do. And not that we have a long track record on Mazzulla, but it's what they do. If they flame out, his job could be in jeopardy next offseason. Like, he could be officially putting himself on the hot seat by aligning himself with this coach and this core. So good, Brad. I hope you're happy with it. I hope you're happy with it, because it could ultimately be your downfall.
Look, Mazzulla is one of Brad's proteges, and he clearly does believe in him, but I also wonder if any of this is, Brad is the guy who appointed him. So if Brad yanks it away after a year, he's not only probably personally hurting his relationship with Mazzulla, but he's also showing that he made the wrong choice, that he made, like, an incompetent decision as GM.
It's the current thing with Belichick and Mac, right? It's a similar idea. I think distancing yourself from Mazzulla would be a good professional decision, but I understand the point. You just vouch for him. You just said he'd be a good coach, and now you're firing him a year later. I understand how that looks weird, but we also all watched it, and we also all know he's not the answer. 617-779-7937. How do you feel about what Brad Stevens had to say today? We'll get to that, and an explosive story from The Athletic. Good insight on what went wrong for the Celtics. We knew something was off. Now we have our answers. We'll get to it after trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Arcan.
It's Jones and Mego with Arcan.
Arcan, it's so good to hear from you.
Why don't you just talk about
it? Arcan, why don't you talk about
it? I don't know. I zoned out after he said that nice thing about me. I didn't listen to the rest of it. It's so good to hear.
That's right. On WEEI.
How involved were you from one playoff game to the next, especially during the Eastern Conference Finals, and coming up with strategy and in adjustments from one matchup to the next?
My job is to be here to support everybody in this building with whatever they need at that time. Certainly would be involved with conversations and those type of things on how we were going to play or who we were going to play, but it wasn't my decision, and I wanted that to be very clear that whatever the coaching staff decides, we all support. One of the toughest things about being a coach is you have a million different ideas coming from a million different people. And so to be able to sift through that and to be able to make the right decision for the team is the challenge. And so we have to limit that within here to the best that we can.
I just found that interesting. Brad Stevens was asked about essentially going to the two big lineups, switching away from the two big lineup throughout the playoffs. End of the Philly series, it worked. Missoula shifted gears in the middle of the Eastern Conference Final against Miami to go small. More Derek White. And I just find it interesting that Brad's like, well, it wasn't my call. I didn't make that decision. Which, maybe you didn't make the actual decision, but I think you agree with the decisions that were made. Maybe you were part of the decision-making process and you were leading Joe Mazzulla to a specific answer. But I just don't believe Brad Stevens when he says, oh yeah, well, that wasn't my decision.
Well, it makes me think about when he, you know, like, it's just the 60 people who work in basketball operations,
yep,
that he referenced. So it's kind of like, well, when it's this big amorphous thing that's crunching numbers and spitting out, you know, options based on that and all the analytics and everything, nobody has to have the finger pointed at them.
Right.
I mean, Joe Mazzulla does by the media because he's the one up there being borderline hostile with reporters sometimes in his answers. But everybody, you know, is like, well, there's a whole science behind this at this point.
Yeah, I think the in-game stuff Mazzulla deserves a lot of blame for. And look, I think some of the lineup changes, too, it probably is his final call. It's like, who hands in the lineup card? Alex Cora. But who's behind the reams of data? That's Chaim Bloom and everybody else in his front office and the analytics team. And I think it's running similar in basketball now, which I do think is a shame. I do think that's a shame. And so I just don't believe Brad Stevens when he says, yeah, that ultimately wasn't my call. Like, I'm sure him and Joe Mazzulla are looking at the same data. They're having conversations. Maybe at the end of the day, Mazzulla gets to make the official call. But I think Brad Stevens wanted all those things that played out. In other words,
do you think he has veto power?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, probably. Okay. I think he does. But I think him and Mazzulla are closely aligned in how they think about it.
No, I'm saying, do you think Mazzulla has veto power?
No, I don't.
Shouldn't he?
I mean,
he's the coach.
Do you think he actually does?
I mean, it makes me wonder when Jalen and Jason are going to him behind closed doors and saying, we want this lineup to change.
I think Mazzulla has autonomy with, again, in-game changes, fluctuations. I think that's hard for the front office to really oversee. Unless, you know, he's got an earpiece in or something like that. That's hard
And he's got sunglasses on.
Right. Do I think he's allowed to make his own lineup call? Like, Arcan, you answer that. Do you think Joe Mazzulla just arbitrarily can say, this is what we're starting in game four? You do think that?
Yeah, I think he can. I think that Brad Stevens is probably pretty hands off. You know,
I don't think that at all.
I think that he was sort of, I believe in
he's an ex-coach.
And what he's doing. I know, but Mazzulla was his pick. And I think that he's giving him a lot of leeway.
Yeah,
and he gave him a long leash.
Why do you think he's his pick?
I don't know, just protege.
Probably because he can boss him around and tell him what to do.
Okay, well then why didn't he tell him what to do earlier in the season with Grant Williams and the double bigs and all this other stuff?
This is what I'm telling you. I think Brad signed off on a lot of this. I think Brad might favor the offensive analytics over the defense. And when Brad goes, well, yeah, geez, all the players, defensive identity. Jaylen Brown, 1-2-3 defense. After they have a meeting about offense, and we'll get to some of those specifics. Brad sides with Mazzulla. Like, well, it's our offense that let us down at the end of the year. And is he siding with Mazzulla, or did he always agree with Mazzulla and Mazzulla is carrying out his wishes? Like, I think it's that second thing. That's why I think it's weaselly for Brad to sit there and go, well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't my call. Maybe technically it wasn't your call at the end of the day, but Brad wants all this stuff to play out. I think that's why Mazzulla's the coach.
I do have a conspiracy theory about Brad Stevens.
Oh?
I think he started taking over the timeouts for Joe Mazzulla. I think he had a little buzzer, and he would hit the buzzer, and it would go off in Mazzulla's ear, and he started calling timeouts at the right time.
I could see something like that happening.
Like in that 21 movie.
It was very noticeable how much Mazzulla changed, right? And that's such an obvious thing. Like, that's like a high school coach level thing. To call timeouts to kill runs? That's something very basic. And it was a very, very abrupt change. I think Brad signs off on all this stuff. All of it. We'll get back to the Athletic story, which I thought was pretty explosive and some interesting stuff there. We knew in March, as a show, we knew in March there were problems with the team. We couldn't quite put our finger on it. But it turns out it's related to Grant Williams, the offensive philosophy, and among other things. I'm trying to remember some of the other details in there. We'll get to them coming up. In the meantime, Chris is in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? So I got a big thing about anybody that's a professional athlete for that reason. A big thing that they do is they hold their emotions in check. So one thing that Paul Pierce said back in 08 when they went on that great run, he basically said when, you know, whether they won or lost a game, the main thing he pointed out was the fact that, you know, they do their best to not go too high or too low. Whether they won or lost, they don't get too emotional either way.
Okay, so you must love Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because I hate that about Tatum, quite frankly, but go ahead.
Tatum, literally, what did he say when they came back? He was so amazed that they were going back to Boston. That's a way too much emotion.
Well, so you know what? Chris, good point. So Tatum generally doesn't ride the emotions, but it's a good point by Chris. After game six,
his tonality after that game six was not like anything I had ever
heard.
Yeah,
so you know what? Fair point by the caller.
It was like the real guy, not the guy that we always see in front of the media.
Fair point by the caller. He got too high after the game, and maybe that's a case to be made that Tatum should have stuck with what he always preaches, not to get too high and too low. That's a
fair
point.
Him and me both.
Yeah. All
of us.
I kind of forgot about that. And not that we really played into the audio, but Tatum after the game was like in disbelief. Like, I think he even said at one point, yeah, he's like,
he
guys,
shell-shocked.
Guys, I'm still in disbelief that we won that game. He's like, we actually won a close game. We actually executed at the end of a game, which you really didn't. Derek White bailed you guys out. But that's a fair point.
He's like, Derek White is so clutch.
He sounded like someone who was just like in a car accident.
Who was that? That was smart. Who was that? That was smart, right?
No,
that was Tatum.
That was Jason Tatum.
That was Tatum. I thought Smart had a similar reaction too. They were all flying high after that game.
Oh my god, that was incredible.
Okay. Also, were Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, was that an even keel team? I don't think of that as an even keel team.
Oh yeah, when I think of Kevin Garnett, I definitely think of him just whispering under the basket.
Right, like, you know? I think all athletes say it. It's like a boilerplate thing you got to say. Don't get too high, don't get too low, blah, 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 blah.
Meanwhile, Garnett's headbutting the stage.
Yeah, right. Did the 08, did the 08 Celtics practice what they preach on that? Like, hell no. That team fed off emotion.
They're trying to kill each other in their very first practice.
I think emotion's fine. I wish the Celtics team had a little more of it, quite frankly. But it's a good point by the caller. Tatum finally gave you a little emotion after a game. He got too high and they got smacked. Jordan is in Wilmington. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hi. Yeah. I just have one thought. So this core, over the past like 5 years, have had like four different coaches. I'm thinking, like, what if they just need coaching stability to like get their act together? And maybe that's like what the ownership is thinking, like with Mazzulla. Like, maybe if we get him in here, you know, a little longer term, you know, they'll have that.
So, Arkan, this is your point.
This is one of your fears about having four coaches in 4 years if they fire Mazzulla.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about very, very young players anymore, but guys who are still in their 20s, that much inconsistency at the coach, I think, is not good for them, and in some ways, maybe not a good use of their prime years. On the other hand, if the guy's a negative, then you should go to someone who's a positive. Like, I don't disagree with that either. So I'm sort of torn right now, but I honestly didn't like the idea of going four coaches in 4 years. I just think that to me signals a franchise in disarray.
Okay. Bringing back Mazzulla, is that a built-in excuse for the players still?
Yes.
Okay. Well, so I think that's a reason to move on from Mazzulla for sure. But in a weird way, a fourth coach in 4 years, you could just turn around and be like, well, we're all adjusting to the new guy. Like, I feel like the players have an out either way.
Definitely.
I feel like they have an out either way, which is why I'm not sticking with them anymore. I'm not sticking with them.
That's it. No more players.
I'm not no players. Just it's Tatum, and I'm retooling around Tatum, and I'm figuring it out. And that's the right way to approach it with this team. It shouldn't be Tatum and Brown. They shouldn't be put on the same level, okay? Brown's a really good player, better than I ever thought. It shouldn't be Tatum and Brown. It should be Tatum and what Tatum needs. And if Brown fits that, great. Then he passes muster. But, like, all those other pieces should be afterthoughts. And, like, I feel like the players have an excuse either way. And Brad will keep this core together forever. And I just think that's foolish. And that's my fear after listening to him today.
Well, and I wonder about the difference between ownership and front office, because the caller referenced ownership.
Yep.
And I wonder if the tone with ownership is different than the tone that we heard from Brad Stevens at the press conference today.
Well,
because ownership sounded a lot spicier according to reporting behind the scenes.
So let's get to it. And this is specifically Wick Grosbeck. And he was barking at or he was really directing Joe Mazzulla on what to do in game three in Miami. And Mazzulla barked back at him after that game. And that was relayed by Ryan Russillo on the Bill Simmons podcast a couple of weeks ago, which we talked about at the time, or last week, whenever it was. Today, The Athletic, Jared Weiss, Jay King, had, I think, a very insightful story on some of the behind the scenes. And it starts with Wick airing out the team after game three.
Yeah. So if you want to read the whole article, it's called Inside Celtics Roller Coaster Season, Mazzulla's Learning Curve, Wick's Challenge, and a Wild Ending. Basically, they start off talking about at the end of game three, after the Celtics lost game three to the Miami Heat, everybody's quiet in the visitor locker room where the Celtics are. Wick Grosbeck walks in, and this is what they write. With the season on the line following a 128-102 Game 3 loss to the 8-seed Heat, Grosbeck came in hot. After Grant Williams asked everyone to clear the room so the players could have some space, Grosbeck went off. His message, to the effect that he has been building this franchise for over 20 years and the players need to play with some balls, left the locker room stunned. Several team sources who were in the room told The Athletic.
Can I just jump in? So first of all, that's wild that Wick is coming in and calling everybody ballless. Like, grow a sack, would
you? Because you are a disgusting fat body.
So this is Wick after the game. He's ripping it. Wick! Like, it's so odd that the owner has to do that, first of all. I don't love him doing it. Like, I don't love the owner getting in there and meddling and getting in the players' faces. But at least somebody's doing it. Mego, you made that point before. We glazed over this the first time. Was Grant Williams telling Wick to get out of the locker room?
I don't think so. I think Grant had asked.
That's written a little ambiguously, right?
This is from a reporter's perspective. So what I think he's saying, or Jay or Jared, whoever this was, they were in the locker room and Grant asked media to clear out for a minute.
Got it. So he wasn't
Wick,
like...
And then Wick comes
He wasn't like, Wick,
in.
Get out of here. No, we need our space. And then Wick was like, shut up, you ballless hack. Like, I'm going to tell you guys how to play.
That's
like,
how my interpretation is. They said, hey, media, can you give us a minute?
Got it.
And then Wick comes charging in and says, you guys are ballers.
Okay, because the first time I read it, I kind of thought Grant was attempting to kick Wick out of it.
No, I think it was the explanation of as to why they weren't in the locker room at that time.
Got it.
But so it basically goes...
Grant
Williams. Would you put it past it with him?
No, I wouldn't.
Me neither.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
Wick, please.
Everybody out!
No.
Wick kicks the door in.
No nuts is what he called them. Not numb nuts. No.
You're
nuts.
You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece.
Okay. So what else did they write back up?
So if they go back to try to trace where any dysfunction was, They write, after the All-Star game, one Celtics source believes some of the team's best players, quote, just lost focus. Of course, that was right around when Joe Mazzulla was then had the interim tag removed. They write, some of the players started to believe Mazzulla prioritized the offense too much, according to team sources. Several vets wondered why the coaching staff went away from Grant Williams, who had a significant role in slowing down Kevin Durant, Giannis, Bam Adebayo on the way to the finals last season. Then he records his DNP, and the coaching staff seems to pivot to Sam Hauser because they like his offensive production. Well, those vets that are referenced, they get so squirrely about this. The team's leading veterans believed Williams would be crucial in the playoffs, so Tatum and Brown met with Mazzulla in the early March to implore him to put Williams back into the rotation, team sources told The Athletic.
Which I just like to point out at the time, and I remember getting flack on Twitter, on the text line, on Twitch, on the calls. Why are you guys spending time on Grant? Why are you talking about the eighth guy? This is why. Like, it was a friction point. You could just tell something was off with the team. And so, I forget what the game was. You said it was in Houston? Is that what you said? Or they met in Houston? Or maybe I just heard that wrong. But there was a point, and I remember talking about it, and I'm like, why the hell is Blake Griffin playing over Grant Williams? And I don't want to kick rocks about the seventh or eighth guy on the roster, but, like, he was pretty instrumental in their playoff run last year. And you could tell that that's where something shifted with the team, and the players were pissed. The players were like, why is he out of the rotation? He helped us against Giannis and against Bam and against Durant, and now he's not even in the rotation? That's weird. And that represented something bigger, I thought, at the time. And turns out, we were right. Turns out we were right about that, because I always thought that was weird when it happened.
So at this point, they're starting to really toggle between, are we on off an offensive team shooting threes all the time, or are we a defensive team? So they write, disagreement over Mazzulla's approach showed in a film session during the second round that dove into the offense when Jaylen Brown broke a huddle by saying, 1-2-3 defense, according to several sources in the room.
1-2-3 defense.
So Mazzulla's up there going, offense, offense, offense. That's why we got to work on our offense. Guys are shooting. We need more spacing. Offense, offense, offense. It's basically what he does in a press conference after the game. And then after the film session, Jaylen comes out. They break it down, and he goes, 1-2-3 defense.
I hope Jaylen was looking over his shoulder at him when he said it.
Just staring at him.
Just whispered defense.
Just staring daggers at him, and Mazzulla with his crazy eyes just staring right back. And so, like, but this shouldn't be surprising either. Jaylen did this all year in his press conferences. All year, this is what it was. Mazzulla would go up there. Oh, well, you know, we need a three-point attempt is the most important stat in basketball. Offense, offense, offense. Spacing, spacing, spacing. Offense. And then Jaylen will get up there and go, yeah, we need to get back to our defensive identity. And I'm paraphrasing, but like, Mego, you were all over that all year. That happened all year long.
So another note here, players noted they sometimes would come out of timeouts, I guess when the timeouts happened, uncertain about defensive coverages, and Blake Griffin, Marcus Smart, and Grant Williams, among others, would help the team work things out heading to the court before play resumed. Everybody's just, they're just not even coaching defense.
Nope.
So they're just like, wait, what is the coverage? And they're all scrambling as they walk out.
It's so bad.
Here's the last little piece I want to include here. So after dropping the game two in the fourth quarter to Miami, the players had a heated discussion about what they needed to fix, according to team sources. Amid the shouting, Malcolm Brogdon lit into his teammates, urging them to trust each other like they had all season. The players then sounded shocked after they lost game three, 128-102.
Okay. And then they got bombarded. Brogdon's another problem. Brogdon's another potential locker room problem. Good play. Love him on the court. Like, before he got hurt, fully trust him on the court. Like, I'm like, anytime he shoots, before he got hurt, I'm like, oh, this shot's going in. Like, I like the way he plays. But clearly, a lot of people probably like the way he plays. The reason he's on his third team and his ninth coach is because of stuff like this with Brogdon, who I thought his post-game press conference after Game 7 was very, very odd. We covered it at the time. You can go find it on the Odyssey app. Jones and Mego with RK. Real quick, one more piece of audio I want to jam into. This, I think, is representative of where I'm so not aligned with Brad Stevens. He was asked about a culture shift, shifting culture, more dancing around the defensive identity thing we're talking about. And here's what Brad Stevens had to say about that earlier today.
I don't want to overreact.
We know.
We have an incredibly resilient group. They're tough. With their backs against the wall, they're amazing. And at the same time, we came up short. And, you know, certainly I thought a big part of coming up short was our early play in the last two series.
you know, especially in the Miami series, right, when you go down 0-3 and game three was awful. But the rest, we had our opportunities in Philly game one. We had our opportunity in Philly game four. We had our opportunity in Miami game one and two. Like, those are opportunities where we played well a lot of the time. We all play a role in that. We all have to play better for 48 minutes if we want to win. We saw what we were like with our backs against the wall, with the exception of game seven. We were pretty good.
Oh, with the exception of game seven. Oh, just with the exception of game seven, we were pretty good with our backs against the wall. It's like, I would not reward them for that. And I wouldn't champion that if I'm Brad
Stevens.
Against
the wall five times.
And to his credit, in the middle of the answer, he says, well, you know, a lot of our early play is what got away from it. And like, we ultimately didn't get the job done and blah, 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 blah. But he's like, we're an incredibly resilient. I wouldn't lean into the resiliency. I would start saying, why do we have to be resilient? What's wrong with us? Why we get backed into corners in the first place?
Why is our back constantly against the wall?
And like, he kind of mentioned that, but I feel like what he emphasized is we're incredibly resilient, and when our backs are against the wall, we're in great shape. And, you know, I mean, besides game seven. And I would not be propping that up if I were Brad Stevens. That was one of my least favorite answers from him today, is just championing that and applauding that. I would not be emphasizing that anymore. I'd be emphasizing why you suck and get yourself in those positions in the first place.
Yeah, but again, I think that just kind of summarizes how the tone missed the mark to me with this entire press conference of like, we don't really want to hear how great everything was when it's game one of the finals and you missed it because you didn't show up to a game seven in a series that most of us thought, 97% of us thought, shouldn't go to seven.
Right. By the way, you should have beaten Miami, who's an 8 seed. I think you should beat this Denver team too. Like, I think you should beat this Denver team. I think they're very beatable. I think the Heat are going to beat them. And so there's another one you let slip away. You were up on the Warriors last year, 2-1, leading in game four on your home floor. You let it slip away. I'm not going to say let go of the rope. I've heard that too much in the last couple of weeks. You let it slip away, and I think Denver's beatable. And if Miami beats them, and you should have beat Miami, I mean, you could be talking about back-to-back championships you let slip through your fingers. 617-779-7937. Hang out on the phone lines. Rich Keefe has a quick sprint up to Red Sox and Reds, a series they've already lost, but they'll finish up tonight at Fenway Park, and we have Endgame next.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI, New England's sports original.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Y'all want to play a f***ing game?
Game over, man. Game over.
You little punk.
I can't believe he's clapping back at randos. Explains us. I'm going to ask what it means to pee down someone else's
don't
life.
Don't kink shame.
All right, it is time for Endgame, which is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Remember, that's Cars with a K and the number 4. All right.
I got to be honest. I'm surprised there were no exploding manholes there. Was that is that an FCC violation? I was surprised that wasn't
We love our bread. We love our butter. Most of all, we love each other.
I'd never heard that one before.
That's from Madeline. Hold on, I gotta grab a piece of paper.
Ah, Madeline.
Arcan, it's from Madeline, duh. Yeah.
Somebody ever prepared to do this segment? Like, ever?
Not ever.
On remote, I'm not. Typically in studio, I'm ready to go. When we're at that Fenway studio, I'm always like, oh yeah, right, I need a pen and a paper. And
all right.
I
got paper. We got pens, we got papers, and we got three questions here that have something to do with the show today. So we'll start with question one. Since OTAs are starting, here's a Patriots preseason question. In the 2017 preseason finale, this Patriots quarterback had what is widely considered the greatest preseason performance in NFL history, throwing for 341 yards, 4 touchdowns, and also rushing for a touchdown.
2017.
I'm sorry, what? In 2017,
this Patriots quarterback. You guys really need to listen to the question.
No,
this Patriots quarterback.
You need to shorten your questions are so long with so much crap in there. I'm just making sure I heard everything right. It was a Patriots quarterback. I need a clarification on. That's all. That's okay. All.
Said that right in the beginning.
This Patriots quarterback, who's a Sagittarius, who has a gluten intolerance.
Seriously. So much crap in there.
Came ninth in the Putnam County Spelling Bee.
None of that sort of detail was in there.
This feels a little obvious.
It was all about this one game.
Honestly,
generally.
Like the years between 2014 and 2018 all kind of blur together.
It's a good time.
I mean, him saying it's widely known, whatever he said,
widely,
as one of the greatest preseason performances, that's thrown me for a bit of a loop.
Editorializing in-game questions.
That's fine. I don't mind that. I'm not even quibbling with it. I'm just letting you know it's thrown me off a little bit. But I think I have
many
this.
Many people say.
Many are saying.
Best preseason game ever.
Oh, man.
Did you see Joe today? His tumble.
I call Wisconsin basically Fat Canada. That's what I've always called it.
It was quite a fall from Biden today. Aye, aye, aye.
It's tough.
I did see that.
Biden. I did see that. Yes. I saw that on the internet.
Yep.
So you know the other irrational fear I have?
Turning 80?
Falling and knocking my front teeth out.
Ah.
My front teeth are so big. I feel like they're just like a big target to get just.
Well, watch out for those sidewalk grates. I was trying to tell you. You told me that was an irrational fear. Watch out for those. Get a flip-flop cut in those things.
All right. Do we have answers written? Looks like we do.
We do.
In the 2017 preseason finale, this Patriots quarterback had what is widely considered the greatest preseason performance in NFL history. 341 yards, 4 touchdowns, rushed for a touchdown. That quarterback, of course, is.
It's got to be Garoppolo.
Wrong.
Is it Brissett?
That's what I said, too.
It was Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett going off in the preseason.
I thought it was Jared Stidham last year.
I'll be honest, I have no recollection.
That's
of
what
that.
I'm saying. It all blurs together.
I thought he was gearing up for, who was the Danny Etling?
Oh,
who
had that long run? Yeah.
I thought that's what you were gearing up for, was like he had this crazy play in the preseason finale. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Definitely like at that game covering it, too.
The Brissett one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no recollection of that. Not like zero.
They lost the game, but he was very good. All right, question two. Since the Red Sox are playing the Reds again, and this is the first time the Reds have beaten the Red Sox in a series since the 75 World Series.
Oh, I thought that was going to be the question.
Here's a 75 World Series question.
Oh,
in
oh,
the World
great.
Series, this Red Sox pitcher shut out the Reds in Game 1 and won his start in Game 4. In both games, the Reds complained that the pitcher's unusual windup was a balk, but the umpires disagreed.
A balk.
A balk.
Balk, balk, balk.
McGawk.
I cuckoo ka-cha. I already
a coodle doodle do.
I already have my answer.
A coodle doodle do.
This one I'm positive about.
I'm not positive about this one.
This one I'm positive about.
1975.
Who hit the home run and waved it fair in Game 6? That's what I thought Arcan was gonna say. Although you know what?
Pokey Reese.
Like the Carlton Fisk home run. Or like Bird steals the ball, or like Derek White. Those are all like plays that like we really shouldn't care about at the end of the day.
At least Bird and the Celtics won the series.
Yeah,
like, you know, they went
totally
to the finals,
disagree
but
with
they
the
did
Bird
lose
one.
In the finals.
Why?
Why? Why should we not care?
They didn't win anything.
Birds
who cares?
Bird's ahead of Derek White because White they lost the series. He made the play in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
Bergeron so. Bird's a little better than that.
White at least made the basket.
You know, like Bergeron getting that overtime goal against Toronto in 2012.
Yeah, right. That's another good one. It's like, oh, wow, Bergeron. Cool. You beat Toronto.
They were down 3-1.
Wow, you beat Toronto. What a choky-ass
the
team.
Game
and then you lost the Stanley Cup final. Like, I don't care. Is Bird better than Derek White, I guess? I mean, he's definitely better, but, like, was that play better, I guess?
Bird, Derek White. In the annals of history, where would you rank them? All right, in the 1975 World Series.
It was really just a giant Isaiah screw-up. Not really anything Bird did. It was just a giant Isaiah screw-up.
I mean, Bird stole the ball. In 1975 World Series, Red Sox pitcher shut out the Reds in Game 1, also won his start in Game 4. In both games, the Reds complained that his unusual windup was a balk, but the umpires disagreed. What pitcher am I talking about, Meg Owen Jones?
I don't know.
El Tiante.
Louis Tiant is correct. And that takes us to question.
Enough for baseball.
Question three. Louis Tiant, who was always at Fenway, by the way. Have you ever noticed? You go to a Red Sox game and they're like, hey, Louis here. And he's up there in the just hanging out.
What? Am I making this up? He's got his own like brand of cigars, right? Am I making that up? I can't be making that up. That's got to be a true thing. I'm looking that up now. I feel like he was hawking those.
I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah.
Here's
Joe's
question.
Is cheating. He's Googling.
Yep, that's true. I am.
Googling a Louis Tion cigar thing? That's
Louis
okay.
Tion cigar.
We don't know that that's what he's Googling.
That's true.
Well, he doesn't know what the next question is.
I just found a picture of him smoking a cigar in the shower.
El Tionte cigars. It's a thing. I knew
nice.
It.
Nice. All right. Question three, and Mega,
wish
you need this one.
I hadn't seen that.
I sure do.
In 2012, the EPA estimated that there are this many million manhole covers in the United States.
Are they exploding or they're just existing?
No, just this many.
I would have said exploding if they were exploding. This many million manhole covers in the United States.
This many million.
This many million?
Yes.
I actually missed that the first time, so good. I'm happy
yes.
I had that.
I don't know.
I don't know either. What do you mean? Of course no one knows. Who knows this?
Okay, let me think about this.
Mega's going to turn into a shut-in now, like me and Jones.
I know. I'm guessing this. All right,
move to the
my
country,
guess.
Nice dirt roads.
I mean, move into the country because I'm seeing lots of manholes. Move into the country, gonna see a lot of manholes. Why are you laughing?
There, I mean, as you know, somebody from the sticks. I mean, there are you even got manholes in you know the Northeast Kingdom. They're up there. They're everywhere. It's got to be a big number.
Glorious.
Yes.
Manholes up there is just big cow turds.
Yeah, I mean, they're like whatever. There's not a ton of them, but they're there.
They're sinkholes. It's nature's manhole.
That's true.
Right.
All right, I have a guess.
All right. Mego, you done writing?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, in 2012, the EPA estimated that there were this many million manhole covers in the United States. I was going to say closest without going over, but let's just go closest whether you're over or not.
Okay.
What do you got, Jones?
I wrote a million.
1 million.
A million.
Yes.
Million? So 1 million.
Yes.
No. Like, what is that? What is a million million?
That's a billion.
A billion.
There you go. Thank you. There's a billion manholes.
A billion.
That's not right.
You guessed a million.
Yes. I said how many million? Wow. Okay. I mean, that is technically
a gajillion.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that's way over. Megan, what did you say?
There's a billion manholes. That sounds right to me.
112 million.
Well, you're closer.
That's gonna be way under.
12 million. There are 12 million manhole. According to the EPA, there are 12
wow.
million manhole covers.
So we both went over, but Mego.
United States.
But Mego wins.
Yes,
Mego had
Mego
a real
wins.
Number.
Million.
Yeah. There's only 12 million? That sounds ridiculously low.
That's what the EPA
said. I guess
said.
I can keep living my life.
I like a billion. I like a million. I think it's a better guess.
You want a billion manholes in this country.
Yeah. 12 sounds shock. That sounds shockingly low.
It's the American dream. Manhole covers as
millions
far as the eye can
manholes.
See.
Manholes. Manholes for me.
Millions of manholes. Manholes for free. Again, don't look that up. Free manholes. I would not punch that in on a work computer. Anyway, Rich Keefe, we don't want to steal any more of his time. He gets you game ready for the Red Sox and the Reds. Quick sprint. Dial him up. 617-779-7937. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 on WEEI.
What do you got, Jones?
I wrote a million.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.